Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, the American people may stand in need of help, but the Brazilians seem to be doing it for themselves. We have the sensational report of enormous crowds, tens of thousands of Brazilians descending on Brasilia, the capital, storming the Congress. They don't want their nation to be taken over by a communist regime. Here we sit passively while Biden and his cronies destroy America before our very eyes. And what the hell are we doing about it? We voted for change, but they stole the election massively. What the hell are we going to do? Massive crowd of Brazilians have descended on the capital of Brasilia to protest the stolen elections and are currently storming the National Congress. Police are using tear gas. Gunfire has been reported. Lots of photographs, lots of record. You can go online and you can track it down, but it's buried in the mainstream media. There was a story about it that did not do it justice on like page 6 of the Wisconsin State Journal in a side column. It should have been a front page story, which instead was about Biden going to El Paso, where it turns out they cleaned up the whole city for his visit. It's just outrageous what's going on here. Police try to regain access to the Brazilian National Congress building, but are forced to retreat, sending crowds into cheers. The Brazilians have been protesting for 68 days now. And the Superior Brazilian Court just mocked us. Now people have had enough. The Brazilian Congress is being invaded. People are not going to take a criminal in charge and clear rigged elections. More. Gunfire and explosion can be heard in some. This is not clear if it was live ammo or tear gas or rubber bullets. Protesters seem to have cornered police on the roof who opened fire before retreating. The National Building, Congress Building, totally occupied by protesters. You can see thousands of them in the building. The Presidential Palace, the Supreme Court, and the Congress Building are roughly within two blocks or very close together in Brasilia. More reports. The presidential palace has also been occupied. Here's another. Protesters have stormed the Supreme Court, which is mainly responsible for the communist coup and election fraud denialism. A tweet about it by Matthew Trimand. Communists don't read Hobbes or Locke. These are prominent British political philosophers talking about the organization of society. When people's rights are trampled by Leviathan, that means big government, of course, they revert to state of nature and defend themselves using most elemental ability, brute force. Doesn't accept the legitimacy of Lulu's technocratic coup and stolen elections. Civil war commences. Do you hear the people sing? I think that the Brazilians haven't lost their testosterone. The Brazilians haven't been corrupted by television for over a 70-year period that has gradually lowered the intellectual mental capability of Americans. When you're watching images, your mind is functioning at a far lower level than when you're actually engaged in reading. Absent television, the American people used to do a great deal of reading. They're not even requiring reading now. They're allowing high school students to graduate when they're utterly incompetent in reading and writing and arithmetic. It's unbelievable. Even universities have become centers for remedial education. It's totally unacceptable. I'll grant the Brazilians have the additional advantage that they haven't had their water fluoridated, where it turns out fluoride is a neurotoxin and is killing brain cells, which, by the way, unlike skin cells, do not regenerate. So the Brazilians, who also, it appears, aren't really as subjected to the massive propaganda efforts as Americans, which is probably the biggest single factor why Americans tend to be ambivalent about what goes on in Washington. They don't know the facts, and not knowing the facts, you cannot know what action you would take would be appropriate to accomplish your goals. If we want a real democracy here in the United States, God knows we're not getting it. The Democrats have massively stolen the elections. The Kerry Lake case in Maricopa County, in my opinion, that could not be a better case, because the ways in which the election was stolen there, the various forms of electoral fraud, were so obvious, were so blatant, were so extensive, were so compelling. The very idea that a judge would throw out 8 of the 10 and then only give 5.5 hours for each side for her to produce, and then the other side cleverly consume much of her time with objections and extraneous issues so she had barely enough time to present. Mike Lindell is coming to her aid by financing her appeals, but I'm telling you, when we have the weaponization of the FBI, the weaponization of the Department of Justice, the weaponization of the courts, we are no longer the great country, the shining city on a hill. We're a banana republic. Remember, what has distinguished the United States in the past has been the rule of law, that we are a country governed by laws, not by men. That is no longer the case. And we have the Brunson, by the way, v. Adams, before the Supreme Court. We'll be talking more about it, because today they should issue the report, probably even as I'm speaking now, it may be there. Check on POTUS docket, Brunson v. Adams, and see if they have granted a writ of certiorari. I'm sorry to say, my expectation is they will not, any more than they would grant a writ for my petition for a rehearing. Even though the State of the Nation described my case as the most important issue to come before the Supreme Court in our lifetime, because it concerns our right to a trial by jury, where juries determine the facts and the judges properly only apply the law, which is why summary judgments are only permissible if there are no disputed facts. That's true in all 50 states, because if they're disputed facts, you must have a jury to decide what are the facts of the matter. But in Wisconsin, you got a peculiar situation, and the judge is allowed to make up the facts by deciding which facts are reasonable and which facts are unreasonable. And if he decides certain facts are unreasonable, then he can set them aside, dismiss them as though they did not exist, which is exactly what he did with all my evidence that nobody had died at Sandy Hook, even though the case before him involved a suit against me for defamation for characterizing a death certificate, an incomplete death certificate that had no file number, no state certification, no town certification. It was an incomplete death certificate that was uncertified, where even under Connecticut law, it's not legal for parents to have uncertified death certificates in their possession. So how did Leonard Posner get an uncertified death certificate? I even had two forensic document experts review four different versions of the death certificate, all four of which agreed in only one aspect, to which that the decedent had died at Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds. Oh, yes, there were other, you know, blocks that were filled in the same way. But the point is, there were differences between all four of them, and the two forensic document experts concluded all four of them were fake. I mean, ordinarily, that would be more than sufficient to settle an issue in a court of law, because that's how the authenticity of documents is determined, by consulting forensic document experts. Well, I had two of them. And yet the judge just set them aside as unhelpful. In other words, he exercised his prerogative under Wisconsin law to decide which facts are reasonable or which are not. And the Fourth Court of Appeals upheld him. Mind you, I'm not reaffirming the sentences over which I was sued, for which I've been permanently enjoined as long as this case stands. And it now appears it's going to stand. I'm explaining what the hell it was about. The Wisconsin Court of Appeals for the Fourth District ruled that it was reasonable to believe that Adam Lanza shot his mother with a .22 caliber rifle, then went to Sandy Hook Elementary and shot 20 kids and 6 adults, blah, 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 but that it was unreasonable to believe it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, blah, 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 even though I had the FEMA manual for the exercise, even though I had the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012, showing at the intersection of Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a part, and murder or non-negligent manslaughter, the number 000, even though I had proof that the official report by Stephen Sadensky III on the Sandy Hook event was a forensic failure because it did not create a causal nexus tying together Adam Lanza, the alleged shooter, with the weapons he's supposed to have used and the victims he's supposed to have killed, where it didn't even enumerate the name and the ages of the victims in the final report. I mean, how bizarre is that? And yet the judge all set it all aside as not reasonable, and the Wisconsin Court of Appeals upheld it, and the Wisconsin Superior Court declined to hear my review, and I went to the United States Supreme Court with additional evidence, including the Connecticut FEMA schedule showing a half a dozen or more events, including exercise L-366, about, you know, handling disasters involving children at Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012. Not only was that before the Supreme Court, but this brilliant Texas licensed private investigator, Brian Davidson, had got into the Connecticut State Police files and discovered photograph after photograph that contradicted the official report, where there were supposed to be bodies and pools of blood. There were no bodies and pools of blood. Not only that, but in the classroom, there were not even any student desks or chairs. Meaning he not only found evidence that it was not a mass murder, but that it wasn't even an operating school. Now, because I was denied my right to a trial by jury, State of the Nation felt this was the most important issue before the Supreme Court in our lifetime. But they passed. Well, they're going to pass. And it turns out, ironically, that due to a set of circumstances, the Supreme Court has never actually ruled that the Seventh Amendment applies to all 50 of the states, which means that while we're dual citizens, each and every one of us, because we're citizens of our states, but we're also citizens of the United States, unless, of course, we're here illegally, where Biden wants to give these massive numbers of illegals all the same rights of American citizen, and by God, he wants to give them all the benefits using our tax dollars. This is so disgraceful. Well, the Brazilians aren't putting up with this shit, but Americans are being very passive about it, very distressing. And I have no doubt we're going to find that Brunson v. Adams has also been passed. They were in conference Friday. We will learn today. Joaquin Agobian has published an article about it. I've just put up on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. You can read about it. Well, I put the current status of the docket before they've issued their report, but it'll be up now. It'll be up during the time I'm on the air. Perhaps one of you can check it out, or I'll be able to check it out and give an update later on during today's program. Meanwhile, Kevin McCarthy won the speaker gavel after the 15th vote in a night of tension. Republican Kevin McCarthy was elected Speaker of the House on an historic post-midnight 15th ballot early Saturday, overcoming holdouts from his own ranks and floor tensions boiling over after a chaotic week that tested the new GOP majority's ability to govern. My father always told me it's not how you start, it's how you finish, McCarthy told cheering fellow Republicans. Eager to front President Joe Biden and the Democrats, he promised subpoenas and investigations. Now the hard work begins, the California Republican declared. He credited former President Donald Trump for standing with him and for making late calls, helping get those final votes. Republicans roared in celebration when his victory was announced, chanting, USA, USA, USA. Meanwhile, the disorganized start to the new Congress pointed to difficulties ahead of the Republicans now in control, much the way that some past Republican speakers, such as John Boehner, had trouble leading a rebellious right flank. The result? Government shutdown, standoff, Boehner's early retirement when conservatives threatened to oust him. The agreement McCarthy presented to the holdouts from the Freedom Caucus and others centers around rule changes they've been seeking for months. Those changes would shrink the power of the Speaker's office and give rank and file more influence in drafting and passing legislation, which is very appropriate. The more you hear about this, the more you see how right in the right were the holdouts. At the core of the emerging deal was a reinstatement of a House rule that would allow a single lawmaker to make a motion to vacate the chair, essentially calling a vote to oust the speaker. McCarthy had resisted allowing a return to the longstanding rule that former Speaker Pelosi had done away with, of course, because it had been held over the head of Boehner. But it appears McCarthy had no choice. Other wins are more obscure, include provisions in a proposed deal to expand the number of seats available in the House Rules Committee to mandate 72 hours for bills to be posted before votes. How appropriate is that? You mean we can't just spring a thousand and thousand page bill on you and have you vote on it in hours without having even read it? How unreasonable of these holdouts. And a promise to try for amendment that would impose limits on the number of terms you can serve in the House or the Senate. The longest fight for the gavel, by the way, began in 1855 and dragged on for 2 months, 133 ballots during debates over the civil slavery in the run-up to the Civil War. Now, Matt Gaetz has done an interview on Fox. The entire Congress takes 6 weeks off in the summer, taking 4 days to elect the Speaker of the House and ensure we have a fighting force that's going to check the Biden administration was absolutely worth it. I'm thrilled at where the House of Representatives is today. Matt Gaetz on Fox.
I'm joined here in studio by Florida Republican Congressman and member of the House Armed Services and Judiciary Committees, Matt Gaetz. Welcome, Congressman. Great to have you.
Good to be with you.
So is it worth it all going 15 rounds to elect a Speaker?
Absolutely. We got concessions that really were being rejected as early as Monday when it comes to being able to read legislation 72 hours before its adoption, individual appropriations bills, and ultimately what we negotiated ensures that we will never again have a circumstance like this omnibus spending legislation, because bills will have to comport to a single subject. There will be germanity requirements on amendments, and so it's going to be an open process, a transparent process. I'm thrilled at where the House of Representatives is today.
You are quoted as saying the construct of these rules concessions functionally turn the speakership into a ceremonial position. Do you mean that?
Well, Speaker McCarthy is our speaker, and long live the speaker. I look forward to working closely with him, but he did agree, to his great credit, to democratize power to the membership. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, these committees that decide what bills come to the floor, what the spending paradigm is, they're controlled just by people loyal to the speaker. Now what we have is a real representation of all of the different viewpoints within our conference. On the Rules Committee, on the Appropriations Committee, we fought hard to get agreements to have conservatives on those committees, to have our budget hawks on appropriations, and I can't wait to see what we're able to do when we unlock the potential of all of our members going forward.
What about the concern that this delayed process weakened him? And to recap, we've got a Democrat in the White House, we've got Democrats running the United States Senate. Don't you need him to be as strong as possible?
Well, I think the way to have a strong Republican position on a lot of these issues is to have strong Republicans on the most relevant committees. And I don't really get the critique that taking from Tuesday to Friday to work this out puts the Republican majority in peril. I mean, you know, Mike, that in the summer, the entire Congress takes like 6 weeks off, where we're not even around at all. So to take 4 days to figure out who's going to be second in line to the presidency and to ensure that we have a House of Representatives that is a fighting force going to check the Biden administration, absolutely worth it.
Up next is the rules package, the governing rules for the next 2 years in the House of Representatives. Any drama there?
I don't expect it. I think this is an exquisite rules package. And, you know, members of Congress, even speakers, we pass through these positions and move on to other things. But oftentimes, when you make the rules better, you can actually improve the health of the institution long term. Some of these rules will allow us to zero in on specific elements of federal spending and force votes on whether or not that is an appropriate use of tax dollars. Also baked into these rules, we're going to vote on a church-style commission to evaluate the weaponization of this government against our people. That's the FBI, the DOJ, but even other entities that we see abusing their power to the detriment of the liberty of our citizens. This is going to give us more staff, more resources, and we're going to get government back on the side of the American people.
There was a tense moment late night Friday night when Congressman Mike Rogers, expected to be the next chairman of House Armed Services, confronted you. You guys both serve on the Armed Services Committee. What was that all about, and are you guys going to be able to work together on armed services?
Well, Mike Rogers is going to be a terrific chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and we share a deep commitment to our national defense, to our men and women in uniform. And of course, in a late night moment of high drama, people can have moments of frustration. But Mike Rogers and I have a 6-year productive working relationship. We're going to work together wonderfully going forward, and I don't think there's should be any punishment or reprisal just because he had an animated moment. He has my forgiveness and certainly is someone who's done great things for our national defense and will continue to do those great things.
You've taken some praise from people who liked the fight that you led this week. You've also taken some criticism. Some people saying this is about fundraising, this is about more media appearances. Do you consider yourself a serious legislator?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons we fought for these rules was to ensure that all members of Congress can get involved in the legislative process at a more granular level. For far too many years, under both Republican and Democrat control, power has been centralized in a select few, and that's not good for the Republic. I am not one that's really dearth for a lot of media appearances. I think I'm someone who appears on your network and others more than any other member of Congress. So it's an odd criticism to say that I'm doing this for media hits when I do a lot of those anyway. And even before this episode, I was one of the top fundraisers in Congress, despite the fact that I'm one of the only Republicans in Congress who doesn't accept any lobbyist money or any political action committee donations, because I believe our politics is most pure when it is funded by the people of our country, not those who are paid to try to influence outcomes.
Congressman Matt Gaetz of the great state of Florida, great to have you, and we'll be tracking the 118th Congress starting tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Thanks so much.
That was a sensational interview, and Matt Gaetz, who's been perhaps the champion here of the American people in insisting on this package of reforms, maybe sugarcoating the potential for conflict over the formal adoption of the rules to which McCarthy agreed in order to receive their votes. McCarthy, it seemed to me, could potentially double-cross them. That would lead to chaos in the Congress, assuming he does not double-cross them, assuming he agrees to the rules. It's not clear that other Republicans who may be more sympathetic to the left than Matt Gaetz might oppose the rules. And if they have a problem adopting the rules, we could see a replay of something very analogous to what we've just been going through now here today. While the Wisconsin State Journal buried the story about the protests in Brazil, they gave more prominence to the speaker securing his position and the potential for moderates to protest the rules when they come up for adoption in the House. And in any case, we have what it looks like a step forward, and I trust Gaetz will be giving us an accurate report of what it means, and let's only hope that he's absolutely right about how it's going to play out before the Rules Committee. We're heading into the break. More when we return about Damar Hamlin and what's going on there with the vax. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Randall Richard sent me an email on his list. Is a deep state pharma complex about to pull off a hoax with the Damar Hamlin event? The longer the NFL refuses to release a vaccine status of Damar Hamlin, it becomes more possible that the deep state pharma complex may be buying time to determine if they want to pull off a hoax. What might the hoax be? That Hamlin was not vaxxed. Why would Wade do this? For several reasons. First, the deep state pharma complex doesn't want to admit the jab has or can hurt anyone. Think lawsuits, loss of political power, and prosecution. Second, the deep state loves psyops and won't want to waste an opportunity to pull off a big one by calling an obviously vaxxed player unvaxxed. If indeed Hamlin is actually vaxxed, it would be a great big FU to truthers and political opposition. Third, a hoax such as this would temporarily stall the drive to mass awakening of the obvious genocide. The problem for the deep state is this. First, they would have to alter medical records, NFL and doctors that prove Hamlin's vax status. Second, they would have to try to get Hamlin's family and friends to alter their testimony as to his vax status. Third, they'd have to get Hamlin's teammates to alter their testimony as to his vax status. The problem here, then, is what to do if unvaxxed teammates, Josh Allen and Beasley Cole, come up and testify he was jabbed. What then? Well, we don't have to count on his teammates. Dr. Benjamin Eidelman has already tweeted, I recently administered Damar Hamlin's COVID booster on 12/26. And as a medical professional, I can assure the public he passed all screenings with flying colors. I am in contact with the UCMC staff and will provide any assistance to them. So there's no doubt about it. I previously reported that the owner of the Buffalo Bills had boasted about mandating all his players to get the vax. So I'm struck that there are a couple, Josh Allen and Beasley Cole, who are unvaxxed. Meanwhile, we have more and more evidence, as though we needed, about the damage done by the vax. Bombshell scientific study reveals the more vaccines you get, the greater your risk of getting COVID. Really, from the UK, we have studies showing that if you're double or triple vaxxed, your probability of death skyrockets, not getting COVID. Anyone who's vaxxed and gets COVID, that's the least of their problems. Though admittedly, COVID is going to be more damaging to someone who's been vaxxed because it has weakened their immune system. I mean, the whole premise of these vaccines is they strengthen their immune system. But in this case, it has the opposite, intentionally the opposite result. A recent study published in MedRxiv has revealed that receiving multiple vaccines may actually increase the risk of contracting COVID. The study looked at data from over 1 million in the United States and found that those who had received more than 7 vaccines in their lifetime had a higher risk of testing positive for COVID. Now, those 7 vaccines would not, of course, all be for COVID, but just 7 vaccines over your lifetime. The study used data from the CDC, National Immunization Survey, which tracks the number of vaccines administered to U.S. citizens. The researchers found that people who had received more than 7 vaccines were more likely to test positive for COVID than those who had received fewer vaccines. The risk of testing positive increased with each additional vaccine. The researchers believe this increased risk may be due to a phenomenon known as vaccine interference, which occurs when different vaccines interact with each other in a way that reduces their efficacy. But think about it. The more vaccines, the more vulnerable you are to COVID, presumably the more vulnerable you are to any other viral infection, suggesting vaccines aren't working. And we know there are lots and lots of physicians who are totally anti-vax, totally anti-vax. This could mean that the vaccines interfere with the body's ability to fight off infection, including COVID, and I agree 100% with that. Here you have a study of COVID deaths in Australia versus Niger, both of which have a population of 25 million. And in Niger, they're doing just fine. But you have these giant steps of increases in Australia for everyone's getting vaxxed. Another study in a peer-reviewed scientific journal concluded that mRNA vaccines immensely increase a person's risk of cancer and susceptibility to infectious diseases. The study also found the spike proteins within mRNA vaccines are neurotoxic, meaning they kill neurons, kill brain cells, and cause severe illnesses, including neurodegenerative disease. That's damage to your brain. Myocarditis, Bell's palsy, that's a freezing a half of your face, liver disease, thrombocytopenia, tumorigenesis, and impaired DNA damage response. None of this is something you want to experience. None of this is something you... From the abstract of the study, we identify potential profound disturbances in regulatory control of protein synthesis in cancer surveillance. These disturbances potentially have a causal link to neurodegenerative disease, myocarditis, immune neutropenia, Bell's palsy, liver disease, impaired adaptive immunity, impaired DNA damage response, and tumorigenesis, meaning the promotion of tumors. Now, if anyone knew that, would they take a vax that's going to bring about neurodegenerative disease, myocarditis, immune thrombocytopenia, Bell's palsy, liver disease, impaired adaptive immunity, impaired DNA damage response, and tumorigenesis? Would anyone in their right mind take that? This is the reason they've suppressed all of their studies. They have suppressed them. Highlights from the study summarize that mRNA vaccine promotes sustained synthesis of COVID spike protein. The spike protein is neurotoxic, impairs DNA repair mechanisms, suppresses type 1 interferon responses, resulting in impaired innate immunity, and causes increased risk of infectious diseases and cancer. Another study from late November found a direct causal relationship between an increase in deaths in countries with higher levels of vaccinations. Surprise, surprise. The study analyzed publicly available COVID data that range across 145 countries to determine the causal effects of the vaccines on total deaths per million and total cases per million. In September, another study published in the National Center for Biotechnology Information found no discernible relationship between levels of vaccination and COVID case rates. Can you believe that? In other words, there are a lot of fake doctors out there on the take who are willing to put out fake science. There's just no question about it. There are hundreds and hundreds of studies that the statistics are devastating. The more the vax, the more the deaths, the more the harms inflicted, and look at that list. Meanwhile, we have a commentator here who's picking up on the story about our football player, which is so stunning because it happened in front of so many millions of Americans watching an NFL football game. And by God, the deep state and the medical community is scared shitless. We have it here.
We're talking about DeMar Hamlin. DeMar Hamlin is an NFL player that all of a sudden keeled over and collapsed on the field of play after a very regular, very uniform tackle that took place. He stood up and he fainted, and then he ended up in critical condition in the hospital with a 1 in 200 million chance heart condition. Now, this is, they're calling it commotio cordis. This is what they're saying. They're saying that he was hit just at the right time when his heart was basically in between beats, which causes this 1 in 200 million chance condition. Now, you would think that after, what is it, 10,000 NFL games, over a million plays, millions of hits, millions of tackles that have taken place, you would think that we would have seen this before, especially back in the olden days when they were hitting each other really hard, when there was basically no rules, and when the players were on every drug known to man. They were on HGH, they were on all sorts of steroids, they were on probably methamphetamines at some point. We just went over something the other day. There was a pitcher who threw a no-hitter high on LSD. He took a hit of acid before he went out to the pitcher's mound and pitched a no-hitter high on LSD. But yet, we've never seen this happen before. I've been watching the NFL for most of my adult life, multiple games every Sundays, and I've never seen anyone just stand up, faint, and then end up in the hospital with a serious heart condition that you have a 1 in a 200 million chance of getting. Now, here's a question. Let's say it was commotio cordis. Well, what about this other NFL player that died right around the same time from an acute heart failure? What about the dozens upon dozens upon dozens upon dozens of tennis players, of soccer players, of hockey players, of young football players or young baseball players that have all of a sudden fainted during, on the field of play and ended up with a serious heart condition in the hospital? Myocarditis, heart inflammation. What about them? What explains what they had? Was it commotio cordis? In this age of COVID-19 vaccines, this just began happening. Was it commotio cordis, or was it one of the other excuses that they're using? Was it climate change anxiety? Was it climate change anxiety, which is what is causing these heart conditions, according to the media? Climate change can hurt babies' hearts, studies says. Was it cannabis use disorder? Was it one of these? Cannabis use disorder, which is causing a growing number of heart attacks in younger adults, according to the media. What was it? Which one of these conditions was it, if not for the COVID-19 vaccine? One in four people say that they think that they know someone who died suddenly from the COVID-19 vaccines, by the way, according to polls. So we're going to get into this today. We'll talk about this. We'll play the clip. We'll get into a lot of the information that the media is completely covering up and hiding from you. Before we do, though, I just want to give a big shout out to this video sponsor. This video has been kindly sponsored by Patriot Gold, and they say that BlackRock is warning, prepare for a recession unlike any other. History has proven the only way the Fed can fight inflation is with a recession. In 2008, the stock market and housing market crashed. Meanwhile, gold went from 800 an ounce to over 1,600 an ounce in the next 2 years. So number one, we are heading toward a recession. And number two, investors need to buy gold. And the Patriot Gold Group is introducing the 2023 Recession Protection No Fee for Life IRA. So if you're thinking about rolling over your IRA into gold or silver, make sure to give them a call. Use the information in the description below. Mention my name when you call them, and they'll help you seamlessly transfer over an IRA to gold or silver, or get into a gold or silver IRA. All right, so let's get into this here. Let's pull this up. I have this up on Telegram, t.me/realVincentJames. Here's the clip. So he makes the tackle. It's not a hard hit, by the way. It's not a hard hit. He makes the tackle. He gets up. All of a sudden, he collapses. And he has to go on a breathing machine. His brain stops. His heart stops. And he ends up with this heart condition that they're calling commotio cordis. There you go. Wasn't even like a helmet to helmet. Wasn't that hard of a hit to the chest. It was a normal tackle that they teach players to do, because there's a lot of rules nowadays. If you have a pre-existing heart condition, you're not getting into the NFL. Okay, you're not getting into the NFL. You're not allowed helmet to helmet hits. There's a certain way you can tackle. But here's how the narrative control began. Someone, one of my friends, pointed this out. You look at this before the media started coming out and publishing articles. You see all these people on Twitter tweeting the same thing. I see idiots on the internet trying to say that this was due to the vaccine. Right, you see all this happening on Twitter. Then all of a sudden the media catches up. Internet cretins rush to blame NFL players' collapse and COVID-19 vaccines. Charlie Kirk uses Damar Hamlin to push anti-vax agenda. You see some of these headlines here. Now remember, if someone dies suddenly, it's not appropriate to ask them about their vaccination status. That information is only relevant for getting into restaurants and gyms. It's a tragedy. Don't ask about his vaccination status. Do not imply that this was due to the vaccine. And by the way, you're not going to know. You shouldn't even ask if he was vaccinated or not. That's not appropriate. That's inappropriate. But here's from the Daily Mail. Did Damar Hamlin suffer a freak 1 in 200 million injury that shuts off blood to the brain? Heart may have been struck during a 20-millisecond window when it is most vulnerable, doctors say. Commotio cordis. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are going to say, doctor, the doctors say that this is what it is. Are you a doctor? You're just posting online. You're just doing your research with Google. You're looking at scientific studies that you don't understand. Oh, I'm not a doctor. I'm not one of these very highly intelligent, credentialed individuals that say that your 11-year-old should be able to chop his balls off and take puberty blockers. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of these intellectual, intelligent individuals that told you that wearing a medical mask will prevent you from getting COVID-19 or help in any way. I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys who told you that getting the vaccine would prevent you from getting COVID-19 and it would prevent you from spreading COVID-19. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of these people that talked about how surface spread is very likely. Wash your groceries down when you get home. I'm not one of those doctors. Yeah, it seems since this all started happening that we have been right way more often than any of the doctors have. And the doctors that side with me on this, by the way, have all been banned or censored from social media. And I venture to guess that I'm willing to bet that there are more doctors that are, on my side than there are doctors on the other side. The only doctors that get propped up by the media and social media, the Great Barrington Declaration doctors, thousands of them who said, don't shut down the country. This will have catastrophic, irreparable damage that we will never be able to come back from. Those doctors were banned from social media. In fact, and I go to this all the time, there were emails that leaked from Dr. Fauci that said, we need a quick takedown of these Great Barrington Declaration doctors because they're not towing the line. It says Damar Hamlin may have suffered a 1 in 200 million heart injury that shut off blood to his brain and triggered a cardiac arrest, doctors say. The Buffalo Bills safety, a position described as the last line of defense. I've never heard it described that. Never heard it described that way. Yeah, technically it is the last line of defense because the safeties are the higher up. But sometimes the safeties come even before the linebackers when there's a blitz. Collapsed during Monday night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals and was administered CPR on the field. This morning, the Bills revealed Hamlin, 24, had suffered a cardiac arrest and that his heartbeat was restored on the field. He had been taken to a hospital where he remains in critical condition. Doctors believe the blow to the star's chest threw his heart-pumping mechanism out of rhythm, disrupting blood flow around his body and shutting off his brain. But to make matters worse, experts speculate this may have happened during a very vulnerable moment in the heart's electrical cycle, triggering a condition called commotio cordis, which is the rare injury occurs when something makes contact with the chest wall precisely when the heart's lower chamber starts to refill with blood. Now, there was a tweet that someone showed me. And whatever you think of Robert Malone, some people on our side don't like him, but whatever. Here's what he says. It says, the eager willingness of the corporate media bias over diagnosis of commotio cordis for last night's tragedy is even worse than any vax injury bias. Commotio cordis is rare and requires specific conditions, including pre-existing conditions in the patient, which you're not going to get into the NFL with. Okay, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get in the NFL with a pre-existing heart condition. There was something else that someone sent to me as well. There was a clip from one of these. Yeah, this one here. Check this out. This is from Dr. Masanori Fukushima of the Japanese Ministry of Health. He says, you are ignoring science. It's a disaster. You spend billions on the vaccine and force people to inject it. Due to the vax, natural immunity has been suppressed. That's another thing that we have a big study up on our website, dailyveracity.com, that talks about how there's no discernible difference between regions of the country or regions of the world that have been vaccinated versus regions of the world or parts of the country, counties in the country that have not. In fact, the evidence is in the opposite direction. Now, more people are dying of COVID-19 who are vaxxed, which they don't talk about. So let's just say that this was commotio cordis, right? Let's just grant them that. Well, what caused this guy to die from acute heart failure? What happened with him, who died right around the same time that this happened? What happened to the dozens of other athletes that have just like collapsed on the field of play and have ended up with heart inflammation or another serious heart condition? Was it commotio cordis as well, or was it the little-known heart attack that's striking the fit and healthy nowadays? Or climate change anxiety that is hurting people's hearts? Or cannabis use disorder that may be linked to a growing number of heart attacks in younger adults? What was it? Which one was it? Which condition exactly was it? It's terrifying, but it's a coincidence. Leading cardiologist says footballers should not panic after 5 high-profile collapses, but insists all players need to be checked throughout their 20s and 30s because they could have climate change anxiety-induced heart inflammation. Or one of these things. Another thing they're trying to say nowadays is that people who are vaccinated, and this is according to like an official scientific study that I saw, people who are vaccinated are now having heart attacks because of anxiety induced by anti-vaxxers and what they've posted on social media. It constricts their veins. This is what literally a peer-reviewed scientific journal tried to claim. According to Rasmussen, a big poll that was done, died suddenly. More than 1 in 4 think someone that they know died from the COVID vaccines. Okay, we know what is going on here. We know what is going on here. It's the same thing that is causing the women's periods and menstrual cycles to be disrupted, which at first they tried to say, well, it was only a small portion of women where this is happening. And then they're saying it's about 50% of women. Yeah, that sounds like about the amount of women that are vaccinated in the country. What's going on there? It sounds like we were right about how the vaccine, it escapes the vaccination site and accumulates in reproductive organs and organs, especially that have high concentrations of ACE2 receptors. It seems like we were right about that. It seems like the doctors who have tried to come out and speak about this, but who have been censored or blacklisted, were right all along, actually. Some people have replied to my tweet about Damar Hamlin cardiac arrest and claiming this all happens all the time is very normal. Well, I looked into it, and that's not actually true. So when you look at from January 1920 to January 2023, there was only one instance of this happening, which this thread goes on to get into later. Now, you have to remember that the only time that anything ever mentions this is in relation to the use of HGH. It should be understood that in the ye olden days of American football, the rules were much looser and people took much more serious hits. And by the way, none of this has anything to do with Commodio Cordis, some of the previous mentioned stuff here. Jack Tatum, in 1978, Jack Tatum broke Daryl Stingley's spine, causing quadriplegia, but no heart failure. Again, this is what I'm saying. These guys were just killing each other. I suspect a lot of the people saying this is normal and happens all the time are not football fans. So it should also be noted that the hit that DeMar took is not remotely unique. It was just like, it was a typical hit, and it wasn't even that hard. Here's Reggie Bush getting blown out by Sheldon Brown in 2007. Take a look at
Reggie Bush. Live.
This is crazy to watch this hit. And this is when I started watching football because of this stuff. It's gotten way weaker as time went on. The one person who died suffered heart failure during a game was also the one person who died during a game, Chuck Hughes, in 1971. It turned out he had undiagnosed and advanced arteriosclerosis. This is a very serious heart disease. Generally, no one with a serious heart disease would be able to become such a high-level athlete. However, if someone like Hughes was able to perform at a high level while having a serious heart condition, there is no way he can get into the NFL in the current year, which is true. It's become much more litigious. The guy, Aaron Hernandez, remember him? I think he died or committed suicide in prison. They took his brain and they said it was CTE, and there was like a lot. There's all sorts of lawsuits all the time. They have to go through all sorts of tests now, drug tests, medical tests, exertion tests. The people claiming that Hamlin must have had some serious heart problem are basing it on nothing. He's basing it completely on nothing. Post a general study there. Aside from Hamlin and Hughes, the only person in all of American football who have had a heart attack during a game that I was able to find was a 13-year-old high school player who had a serious heart attack in September of 2022. But it obviously had not happened before. And that's what I was saying. So that's what we have on that. We know what this is. Anyone with a brain knows what this is. It's the vaccine. It's the vaccine that caused this. DailyVeracity.com. Make sure to check out DailyVeracity.com/support. Check out all the links in the description below.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, that was a long clip, of course, and I couldn't edit out the promotions for, you know, precious metals and all that. But I thought the guy was doing such a brilliant job, an overview, showing how all the pieces fit together and the enormity of the facts. Now, we're getting reports that he's supposed to be coming out of it. I find this dubious, but maybe somehow they've managed to save him. Well, guess what? Damar Hamlin breaking new contract arrangement with Buffalo Bills and the NFL. The Bills and the NFL just made a contractual gesture that's a continuation of the outpouring of love in the direction of Damar Hamlin. Buffalo Bills safety. Yeah, sometimes it's okay to bend the rules. Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin, who suffered a cardiac arrest Monday and spent the week fighting for his life, as a contract contains a standard split clause designed to pay your men a lower rate. But in light of his situation, the four-year, $3.64 million agreement has been subject to an adjustment. So despite the fact that he was placed on IR this week, Buffalo has, per NFL Network, worked out an agreement with the NFL and the NFLPA, Players Association, to pay him in full. The gesture is a continuation of the outpouring of love in the direction of Hamlin, 24, who posted to Instagram Saturday as he continues to recover in critical condition at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. When you put real love out into the world, it comes back to you three times as much, Hamlin wrote. I'm sure he wrote this. Love has been overwhelming, but I'm thankful for every single person that has prayed for me and reached out. We brought the world back together behind this. We brought the world back together behind this. If you know me, you know this is only going to make me stronger. On a long road, keep praying for me. Why do I find this artificial and contrived? Hamlin's words of love and encouragement less than a week after sustaining a life-threatening medical scare is a miracle, considering the fear the entire league felt after Monday's events. Hamlin woke on Wednesday asked in writing if the Bills had beaten the Cincinnati Bengals. Unfortunately, Hamlin wasn't able to awaken to good news of a Bills win, as his health took precedent over a football game that quickly took a back seat before being postponed and eventually canceled altogether. Instead, his incredible fortune was through hearing the life-changing news that he was alive despite being without a pulse at one point when being surrounded by medical personnel on the field. And remember now, he had two, fibrillation moments. He had to be brought back twice, which Dr. Peter McCullough on Tucker said was extraordinary and indicated, a very serious problem here. Honestly, that message from supposedly attributed to him looks about as artificial as it could be. I don't believe he wrote that. And I also believe this adjustment in his salary is hush money. He's not supposed to talk about having had the vax. In fact, I'll bet you there's a clause there that if he ever mentions that he had the vax, that he loses this increase in his salary. I bet you anything that's the way it is playing out. So here you have a real moment of truth. If you put together what you saw with this guy on a football field and Stu Peters' video died suddenly, that's exactly what's going on all over the world. And remember, we have John Stockton, who's a very upright guy, very smart. He's always been regarded as one of the smartest members of the NBA. Point guard, brilliant basketball player, but a mountain of integrity. You're saying, in the past, hundreds of players had died from the shot. Now he's doubled down and said it's thousands of players. And the fact of the matter is, in the meanwhile, every damn football player or fan who's taken the jab has been concerned. So they're going to do anything they can to cover it up. Anything they can. And if that means shelling out a couple more mil to this guy to keep him quiet, chicken feed, chicken feed. They're killing hundreds of millions of people. And they're trying desperately to keep the public in the dark. We're not supposed to understand what's going on. This is one of many reasons why they don't like me or any other alternative media source. They don't like Dr. McCullough, Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Mercola, Jay Bhattacharya. I mean, these people are massively censored, massively censored. You got the CDC and the FDA and the NIH and the WHO all bought and paid for by the Rothschild banking empire in order to promote a vaccination that will disable or kill you, or render you sterile. I mean, at the very least, birth rates are falling in nations that are heavily vaxxed. There's no question. It's very clear. And the number of, spontaneous abortion, stillbirth, fetal deaths is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So what we had here was a moment of clarity because, I don't know, probably 10 to 20 million people were tuned in to watch the Bills play when it happened. And there it was, classic, just compare with Stu Peters, died suddenly, died suddenly, died suddenly, died suddenly, died suddenly, exactly the same. Stunning stuff. All over, listen to me, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Now, here's a very appropriate complaint. How the new Congress is already screwing up on the COVID vaccines, and I think this is exactly right. And by the way, I'm glad to open the call lines early here. I mean, these issues are so staggering. I have other stories to report, but I'm going to be glad to take calls early on today 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Listen to this. How the new Congress is already screwing up on the COVID vaccines. To highlight just how out of touch Congress is right now, even with a new Republican leadership taking over, think about the issues that are most important to you and your family. List the top five off the top of your head. I can already tell you what's on the list because it's the same for just about everyone I know. Inflation, the open southern border, and the COVID shot are in the top five for almost everyone. Yes, yes, absolutely right. And well, they should be. The COVID shots are a huge deal for many of us because they are literally crippling and killing people we know. The shots were a massive failure or a massive success if you want to depopulate the earth. The shot should have been taken off the market more than a year ago because they triggered so many safety signals that the CDC flat out ignored. Whenever I talk to anyone about any topic for about 30 minutes, whether it's mundane family stuff, the weather, or anything else, the mRNA shots always come up. I don't even bring it up anymore, but the subject always comes up. Usually after we're done griping that eggs cost $9 a dozen where I live now. The subject is top of the mind for every conservative I know, but not for anyone in Congress. It's not even a topic that's on the radar for the vast majority of representatives and senators. Out of 100 senators and 435 representatives, name all the ones who have called to put the brakes on this whole COVID shot experiment. Answer, there aren't any, not a single one. The only person in Congress who has even acknowledged that the shots are hurting a lot of people and held hearings on it is Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, my guy. And good for him. At least he's talking about it. But as for the rest of Congress, this vital issue that everyone out here in America is talking about is a huge blind spot that they refuse to think about. The Republicans did that usual thing they do last month. They did last month where they throw the base a minor bone and then go back to ignoring the underlying problem. They got Joe Biden to withdraw the vaccine mandate for the military. Biden didn't rehire anyone who'd been fired. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the Pentagon won't implement the new rule, meaning the vax is still mandatory for the troops. And now the Republicans have dropped the subject completely. They sort of got the mandate dropped for the 150,000 new troops who join the military each year, and that's supposed to be good enough. But it's not, obviously. More than 1,000 colleges and universities in America are still making the vaccine mandatory for young, healthy students who don't need the vaccine. 20 million American youths enter college each year versus 150,000 who join the military. Republicans in Congress could nuke the college vaccine mandates from orbit so fast that would make everyone's head spin if they had the will to do it. Simply tell the colleges, you can have a vaccine mandate or you can have federal funding, but you can't have both. They wouldn't even have to do anything at that point. The colleges would race to see who could drop their mandates the fastest and the hardest. Is anyone in Congress talking about that simple solution? Of course not. The science now tells us that the experimental COVID shots cause heart damage in 100% of recipients. That's not exaggeration or conspiracy theory. The Swiss study from last year, which I've been talking about since it was published in August, show that 777 out of 777 who were administered the Pfizer and Moderna shots showed elevated levels of troponin in their bloodstream, that subclinical myocarditis. And 2.8% of recipients, about one out of every 27, have clinical myocarditis after vaccination. That's a disaster, and all of us are talking about it, while Congress continues to ignore it. The vaccine campaigns are pretty much fizzled out because the public is sick and tired of this and knows the shots are dangerous. Yet Congress is still whistling past the graveyard and pretending that nothing is wrong. We have to keep hammering our representatives and senators with the truth about this matter until the shots are completely pulled from the market. Now think about it. 20 million American youths enter college this year versus 150,000 who join the military. And I tell you, I am current on this issue because I'm very supportive of a young woman who's been applying to many different colleges and had her heart set on some until she discovered they had the vax mandate because she will not take the vax. She's smart enough to know that killing yourself isn't going to do you any good. Getting into a prestigious university isn't going to do any good if the price you have to pay is self-immolation. She was contemplating Dartmouth, which was a strong anti-vax college, until they folded. Because while he's reporting here, it's real simple to say, you can have the vax or you can have federal funding, but you can't have both. In this new mega $1.7 trillion bill, there's appears to be a demand that you can only have federal funding for a college if you impose a vax mandate, just the opposite of what ought to be the case. Now, she is perhaps as talented or more talented than any other student I've ever known after 35 years of higher education. Completely brilliant. But her health and well-being is being jeopardized because schools are requiring that they impose a vax. I mean, look at the idiocy here. And look at what's going on. We have a government that is deliberately poisoning, even killing its own citizens. I mean, think about it. This is genocide right here. Genocide American style, right? American style. Completely outrageous, completely disgusting. We have Brian on the phone. Brian, join the conversation. Brian. Mitchell, did we lose him?
Well, It appears so, Jim. I'm sure he'll call back in a minute.
All right. Well, let me take advantage of having you here. Mitchell, I mean, it is just staggering what's going on here. Would you agree with me in interpreting this change in the contract for this football player? Really, it's hush money. I can't read it any other way. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, hiding this, you know, the 7,500 to 10,000 people who are, you know, are excess deaths every every week. So, you know, whether it's here or in the UK or other places, you know, as he said before, you know, it's climate change. It's, you know, it's people are smoking too much weed. People are exercising too much. You know, it's everything but the new thing that that society was subject to. And that was the vaccine. So yeah, it's a serious problem, and this cognitive dissonance and this disconnect, between reality, as long as the fence minders, you know, fence is built in the mind of people, they will never walk around the physical gate. As long as there is a mental fence in their mind, if that makes any sense.
Well, here's another story I would have picked up on, and I mentioned now. Dr. Joseph Mercola is doing brilliant work. Sudden death. The number one cause of death for under 65 in 2021. Stunning differences are emerging in the death rates and causes of death in the jabbed and unjabbed. Story at a glance. Mounting evidence shows that COVID shots are destroying people's immune systems and are triggering turbocharged cancers. A survey by Steve Kirsch found sudden deaths the number one cause of death among those under the age of 65 who got the COVID jab. Myocarditis as a cause of death is now registering across all age ranges, but only for the vaccinated. Cardiac-related deaths are also significantly elevated among younger people under 65 who got the jab compared to their unjabbed peers. Recent research shows repeated jabs trigger a switch in the types of antibodies your body produces and lowers your ability to clear viruses. By switching from spike-specific neutralizing antibodies to the others, your body switches from tumor suppression mode into tumor progression mode. In other words, instead of dealing with tumors and defeating them, it actually promotes them and develops them. In addition to the potential for cancer cells to run amok, the dominants may also have severe autoimmune implications, as the COVID jab spike protein shares similarities with human proteins. We're here at the break. We're going to be glad to take your calls.
We got five minutes to the break.
Yeah, very, very good. Brian, I misread the clock. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead. Your further thoughts. Mitchell, I mean, it's just absolutely stunning what's going on here. And it's before our very eyes, and there's not a goddamn member of the Congress except for Ron Johnson who's going to talk about it?
Well, Jim, they're all occupied with something else. I mean, we have so many brush fires that are turning into forest fires within our government and society that there are so many that we can't even address the ones that are very severe, let alone the mid-level problems that we have. So it's a great reset, and I hope you're like your bugs and staying at home. I don't know what to say.
It's just staggering, the whole damn thing, just staggering. And as I say, contrast with the Brazilians who won't put up with the phony elections and the fake government and turning their country into communism. It's happening here, and we hardly hear a peep from the American people now. They voted right. They voted out these monsters. But because they had rigged the election, it was for naught. And I say, even if you get a good Congress, even if they start to take good actions on behalf of the people, how are we going to overcome the rigged election? And do we know, by the way, Mitchell, do we know what the Supreme Court has done? I'm going to see if I can pull it up. SCOTUS docket.
Is there anything that hasn't been rigged, Jim? I mean, they rigged society, you know, they rigged the medical system today. They've rigged the financial markets. You know, they rigged the political system. I don't know if I mentioned that twice, but I should have. You know, everything is a staged Truman show. And they already have determined the outcome. It's just a script. And that's all that we're following.
Yes. Search results. Let me see if I can find it here. Search result, Bronson versus Adams. All of a sudden, there were 150-plus items for Bronson versus Adams. There was only one earlier in the day. What in the world is happening here? Docket search. Here it is.
Okay.
Bronson B. Adams. I think I've got it now. Well, it says no items found. I don't know. Can you find, see if you can find him, Mitchell? I'm very troubled. Bronson B. Adams should be right there.
Well, yeah, I would imagine.
Well, everyone, you have the opportunity to call in, really, and voice your opinion. There is Paul Craig Roberts has made some nice observations, by the way, about January 6th, where the Brazilians aren't falling for it. The Democrats and their FBI Gestapo have brought Nazism to America. There is no doubt about it. The alleged January 6th insurrection is entirely an orchestrated event. Hey, I see you found it. Let's see what we got there. Is there a decision? Oh, no, that's the actual case. Yeah. Well, we'll take a look at what Paul Craig Roberts has to say. Meanwhile, we're going to try to find this on the Supreme Court docket because they ought to have given us a ruling today on whether they're going to accept it or not. So I appreciate it, Mitchell. Bronson V. Adams. Let's see what we can turn up. Meanwhile, yeah, here's the actual petition for the writ of certiorari, received October 24th, 2022. Questions presented. We'll continue with this when we get right back from this break. See you then.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we lost Brian, but we gained Paul. I'm glad to have you here, Paul. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I'm glad to learn from the first part of your show that it was the rules. That's what we now can count on, is the rules for the House are now going to be better, and we're set now. Jim, I wish I'd known about it for all the time. It's the rules. That's what matters. I don't know. What do you want from me? I mean, it's
too little, too late.
It's insane.
Yeah, I'm here.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, hang on a second, Brian. Go ahead, Paul. Finish your thought, because Brian's now shown up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Paul. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So anyway, any number of propositions, you know, to the question. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
Fill in
the blank after that for 50 things. Okay.
Yes.
Including, as somebody pointed out last week, just the way they put it was so proper. The open grooming of very, very small children in the schools. Okay. I mean, just this idea that we can tell little children, oh, look, it's the drag queen. Celebrate, you know. You know, if you ever want to consider changing your gender because you're not happy with it. I mean, literally, these people, these Jews that we let into our country, have ruined every single thing in America that's decent. And when you look around at the landscape and say, oh, well, Congress and the House, they're going to change their rules. Really? Well, what about all the money that goes to Israel and all the wars that we fight on their behalf and at their instigation? What about, you know, again, I could list 10 or 20 other things. Just a point of correction real quick, Jim. You've been saying throughout the show myocarditis. I've heard you say that 10 plus times. I believe it's myocarditis. That's the way I've heard it pronounced. I don't think there's an A in there.
Myocarditis. Okay.
Correct. Myocarditis. And also, this man's name is Damar. It's not Dammer. And the funny thing about all these blacks and these new names we've been seeing in the last decade or so is they put a D-A or a J-A or a L-A in front of various combinations, names like Levante or Lakeisha or Damar or, you know, Ja this or Ja that. So it's pretty straightforward. It's always going to be a Ja or a Da or a La. Just check that out on your own. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Well, we got Brian here, too. Brian, go ahead. Give us the thoughts you weren't able to express before.
Well, yeah, I'm like Paul. I was so irritated when whoever that congressman was, I just got so mad when he's saying, oh, they're going to respect the rules now. Before they do the omnibus thing, we get to check it. BS. All they're going to do is next time all this comes up, they'll just ignore all that. They'll ignore the rules. That's just how they work. Okay. So I was getting so angry when I listened to that guy going on about how everything's going to be better. It's going to be better now. Bullshit. we know it's not going to be better. It's going to be worse. And then one thing real quick, Jim, that you need to be aware of, Giuseppe, you know, he has his show, and he had an excellent one before Christmas where he was taking some medicine that was carbon-60, and that he just had all this energy, and he felt so good, and he got the manufacturer of it on the air, and he said, what's the deal with this stuff? Because he was trying to take it before, and it didn't work, and this particular batch worked, and carbon-60 is what's given off when you get a dwarf star, a supernova blows up, and they isolated it, and it really cleanses your blood. It cleanses like graphene oxide. The guy said it's really good for COVID. And so I don't remember the name of it. I caught it and I didn't write it down. But if you talk to Giuseppe, it might be something good. You can say to your wife, oh man, this stuff makes me feel really good. And then when they take it, it just cleanses them. So I wanted you to be aware of that.
It's probably Greska's. They advertise on Ranch all the time, G-R-E-S-K-A, Greska's. There's other makers, but yeah, it's carbon-60 in an olive oil base. And it's an electron donor is what it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, some of it isn't good. And Rents, I don't trust. Rents is, he's like Alex Jones, okay? He'll say some good things, but you're going to get a lot of BS there too. So I think the good one would be the one that Giuseppe recommends. And him being a homeopathic physician, you know, he would know his stuff. So anyway, I'll stop there. But yeah, Paul, I would guess you would know about it. That was the first time I ever heard of it.
No, I've done it. I have some carbon-60. The other thing, the newest thing out, by the way, Jim, and I could send you these links, but as usual, I know you won't follow up on them, just like you don't watch all the stuff that I send to you that you probably haven't seen. For example, Are You Crooked? You probably haven't finished that yet. I can't resist chastising you.
Well, Bo, I appreciate all you're doing. I mean, my schedule is so jam-packed with so many shows, but, you know,
right.
I like that you send me this stuff, and I like that you keep after me, and I hope I can, you know, follow up on at least some of them, because I know you have a lot of smarts and know what you're talking about, and that you think, and I'm sure you're right, that I need to look at them. So, I mean, I appreciate it all.
I'll address that quickly, and I think you can agree with the truth of this statement. Is when you're so busy with output, okay, and in many cases you'll have to admit repetitive output, you don't have the time that you really should devote to input.
Additional input. Let me look for something you got here, Paul. Let me see the latest you sent me.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I was saying about deforming AI.
Yeah, you should check that out for sure. Basically, anything that I sent you is not going to be that lengthy in terms of my intro, but also sometimes the link.
Well, like, you know, I did, by the way, follow up on the 15-minute city. You sent that to me, and I followed up on that. That was good.
Okay.
And all that is very disturbing.
What you
got
need
the Jewish tradition of ritual murder, Ted Nugent on gun control. The first settlers in the New World, absolute truth by a man who knew, I assume that's an anti-Jew rant. Are You Crooked? Sure. Oh, here I see, Are You Crooked? You've said it a couple times here, I see. Are You Crooked?
Minimum of two.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Paul, I'm gonna watch
it.
Are You Crooked?
Listen to me, please, just listen to me for a second. Put that one in your knowledge base, okay? You have to understand what's going on, and you won't until you finish Are You Crooked? You got to do it in bites. I mean, I did it, I think, in two different bites because it's 2 hours or so. But the last half hour to 45 minutes is crucial, but don't fast forward to that. But when you see it all the way through, it's going to be a major revelation to you, just like, for example, you know, died suddenly, and so many other things that you've taken in. Only reason I chastise you about this stuff is, again, to repeat, when you're always engaged in output, and in many cases repetitive outputs, which things you already know and you keep putting them out there, it limits your time for taking in new information and or furthering your understanding. So the only reason I run down that little rant is I was just about to mention another product, which I've recently started to try because it's been recommended to me by a very, very smart guy, Stephen Hewer, over at Synergistic Nutrition. I've mentioned him to you before as well as on air, but it's ozonated olive oil, okay? Where it, and it's actually, you know, you can read about it if you want, just search term it, but I can show you where to get the product. But again, all these products are designed to do is to, by cleansing, essentially what's occurring is you're helping the body to heal, and in many cases you're donating new electrons. And it's worth again mentioning too, in light of this guy Damar Hamlin and what happened to him, that the heart is not a pump. This is fairly well understood by people that have actually looked into it, probably not really that well understood by most of the medical community, because it's no stretch to say the vast majority of medical education is misleading. And it's actually just teaches them a kind of what you call a reductionism or a fractionalization of everything, where they're trying to understand all the various little components of this, that, and the other, and mostly it's related to drugs. But the heart is essentially a charging device. It's a vortex inducing charging device, because the blood moves around the body not really by the pumping action of the heart, but by essentially electricity. So what's going on is all these people are having problems that they're shorting out. That's what's occurring. I mean, that's what the graphene oxide does. And then all the various other, you know, heavy metals that they put in the vaccines, and then that were contaminated in our environment and so forth. And the fact that we're not getting charged from walking around on dirt or grass or even concrete barefoot on occasion, picking up charge from the earth. So now our red blood cells don't have the negative charge that they normally should to repel each other, because when red blood cells have the proper charge, they repel each other and they slide smoothly and cleanly through all our arteries and veins. And so what's happening with a lot of these people is it's just they're given this dose of this poison, which is a huge burden on the body. And of course, graphene and graphene oxide has an affinity for magnetic and electrical activity. So again, it's fairly straightforward what's occurring. And you will hear some people online getting at the truth, the simplicity of the truth of the matter. But just imagine the world that we live in, Jim, where essentially the government is in cahoots. You mentioned earlier about the medical pharmaceutical establishment or complex. Then the government, they're all together in this murder conspiracy, this vast sterilization, debilitation, murder conspiracy. And they're not going to give it up for anything. And it's just, you know, I think we all know, as so many people have mentioned, including me, there's no political solution. So what does that mean? Well, I think we all know what it means, but I thought of a cool metaphor. Imagine the political solution is a house with a door, and there's a lock on the door, and we're outside. We're always outside the house looking to see what's going on. And in the house with the door and the lock on the door is, running the show and determines what's going on in the world. Well, they're not letting us in, and they're never going to let us in. We're going to have to break the door down. It's just that simple.
Well, I've downloaded Are You Crooked, and I'm going to watch it at your encouragement and suggestion. We got, you know, so much going on here about the vax, and of course, yes, yes, yes. I'm often repetitious about the major problems that confront. I mean, we have a constantly shifting audience, and the stories are being reported in different venues, and it makes a difference as to who's getting the news and figuring out what's going on, which is why I think this guy, you know, relatively obscure NFL player, you know, what I think is the equivalent of dropping dead on the field is big news and certainly worth addressing. I don't think you're disputing that. You're saying it's an electrical matter that's being interfered with by the jab, that it's causing a malfunction that has to do with electricity functioning in the human body. Is that correct?
Right. Well, I'm just trying to put it in, you know, a simplistic layman's terms, you know, what I just call shorting out. But yeah, when you look into it, there's some amazing research. I remember I read a paper over a decade, probably a decade and a half ago, and the title of this paper, it wasn't that long either. It was called The Heart Is Not a Pump. And I remember just looking at the title and going, really, huh? The heart's not a pump? And then many other people have done similar work. When you just take into account the size of the chambers, you know, and the number of times it beats versus the absolute volume of all the arterial system and the venous system, it doesn't add up. It doesn't work. And again, what do they do when people have an event? Well, they shock you, right? They apply electricity to try to get your heart going again. I mean, it's all right there in front of our faces. And I know that I've recommended to you on air before Healing is Voltage by Dr. Jerry Tennant, and I'm certain I've sent it to you before. It's 24 minutes. Now, that's one of us have a shorter clips, but there's many other, you know, I've probably spent quite a few hours listening to Dr. Jerry Tennant, T-E-N-A-N-T, like landlord tenant. But, yeah, he covers it in Healing is Voltage. Essentially, all the body's activity is done on a, you know, on voltage, on a charge potential, you know, the exchange between the cells. I mean, this is not controversy at all. So where does this all come from? Where do we get our energy? And in many cases, it's from sufficient hydration and salt and a little activity. In other words, movement is good and sufficient, you know, hydration with sufficient salt. And then, you know, nature takes care of the rest. It's really kind of, again, if you spend a lot of time looking into this stuff, soaking it in, you get various degrees of understanding and clarification. Oh. I don't think anybody understands it all, and I know I certainly don't.
Well, bear in mind, Paul, I mean, the heart is a pump. I mean, you're just saying it has an electrical component. A pulse,
no,
your pulse is a function of the pumping of the heart, Paul. I mean, look, I think you're a super smart guy, but there are some things where, you know, at least literally the way you're making the claim, it's not true. The heart is a pump. Now, if you're saying it's got an electrical component, I wouldn't deny that. But the Vesalius, this goes back to the early study about the cardiovascular system and the role of the heart in pumping blood to the body and the return to the body, the arteries versus the veins. Paul, this is well understood.
It's not well understood. You're wrong once again, and you're wrong on air. You need to look at it and do the research. The heart can be thought of as kind of a pump, but in terms of hydraulic, pumping a liquid, right, that's absolutely incorrect, and it's very well known. Rudolf Steiner started this work. Many other people have done more. And if you read a couple of different papers on this, all you got to do is search term it, start reading it. In terms of the heart pumping in liquid, it's not.
It's Mitchell, I would solicit anyway. Your opinion, Mitchell. This is, I'm going to look at the crooked thing, Paul. You know, send me a link to what you're saying here about the heart. I'll look at that too. But it may be challenge to convince me that the heart is not a pump or doesn't function as a pump functions in circulating the blood. This is about as basic of human anatomy as anything I can imagine. So go ahead.
Again,
it's no accident that your most powerful chakra in your body is your heart chakra. And what he's referring to is quantum mechanical energy. If you look at a regular electrical signal going from your brain to your fingers, it has to work beyond the speed of light. It doesn't work through electricity. And so Paul is absolutely right. It kind of goes beyond our understanding, but definitely it's tied to the fact your heart chakra is the most powerful chakra in your body.
So
what is the word you're using there, Brian? The most powerful what?
Chakra, C-H-A-K-R-A, chakra.
Yes.
So Jim, just think of it this way. So Brian added an interesting addition, a dimension to this, okay? Just try to understand this. This is not going against you, people have a relatively pedestrian and so-called traditional understanding, because they're taught to look at the body as like a machine from a mechanical point of view. And it clearly has so much more. I mean, just when you look at just the idea of consciousness as it is, all right, the fact that consciousness can be or is non-local. I mean, that's a whole topic in and of itself, and I don't know how much you've read about it. This short-term consciousness.
Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how much I've published on the nature of mind and the nature of consciousness, for crying out loud? That's one of my areas of specialization.
I know.
I must have a half a dozen or more books on this and many articles. I've done all this work on computer science, artificial intelligence, cognitive science. There are those who regard my introduction to philosophy and cognitive science as the best ever published. You can find it online. Okay. If you can pick up a used, go for the second edition, because I got an extra chapter in there about Turing tests that wasn't in the first. But I mean, you know, I can talk extensively about the nature of consciousness, and it is local, and it is a biological phenomenon, and it's a way the brain functions.
Let me pose a question.
Processing signs. Go ahead.
Let me pose a question to you. I'm not trying to diminish the work you've done, but I'm just saying I think that there's limitations.
I wasn't suggesting you were. It's just that I find a bit baffling. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, the reason you're finding it baffling with people like myself and Brian, I'm sorry, Jim, it's just the way it is we're moving on to other levels, okay? There's a lot of people, as you may know, like Sophia, you've had her on, Mike Williams, other people, even David Weiss, they're just on to other levels, next levels, higher levels, where they're able to see more. A lot of times there's things that you just don't see. So you cannot deny absolute facts that have been established that the police departments have used psychics to solve crimes, right? You know this, correct?
Yeah, but that's real complicated, messy stuff. Jesus Christ. And by the way, this chakra stuff is an aspect of meditation. Is that right? Your chakra is up.
Stop, Jim. Stop resisting or objecting to what I'm saying. I'm giving you the absolute fact of the matter. This is extensively documented. Many police departments over many, many decades have used psychics to locate bodies. So tell me, right, when they didn't do it, right, and they didn't really know the people that were involved, but they can see, they can go somewhere else with their mind in space and in time, similar to how the military was doing research with what they call remote viewing. And, of course, people that had psychic abilities were much better remote viewers. Explain to me, if consciousness is only local within, you know, the gray matter inside your skull, how can psychics see where a body is, describe the circumstances in which the body might be found, and then later on the body is found in exactly those circumstances?
Give me some cases. Let's look at the details. But the nature of mind is related to the use of signs of something standing for something else in some respect or other. There are three basic kinds of signs: icons, indices, and symbols. Icons are signs that look like what they stand for. Indices are causes or effects of what they stand for. Symbols are merely habitually associated with what they stand for. You're talking about a kind of potential psychic phenomenon that is, in my opinion, fascinating, but also very open to skepticism. I mean, you know,
you're not open to this. That's fine. Brian knows I'm right. Okay, and lots of other listeners know that I'm right. You just haven't spent the time looking into this. They've done experiments. Universities, as well as the military, has done experiments where they put people in a room somewhere else. Like they have people in a room in Australia. And they have people in a room in England. And the amazing number of hits that they get in commonalities and interpreting various numbers or words, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're thinking about it. What is it that they're seeing? Are far, far greater than any statistical anomaly. It can't be any other thing other than consciousness is not local. And there's lots of literature on this going back a very long time. Consciousness is not local. It can be local, and it is local. However, there is a universal consciousness, a universal intelligence that we all have been and are in communication with. And this is what they're trying to harm and to dumb down with their fluoride and with all the other poisons. They're trying to kill our glands, including the pineal gland. Brian, jump in anytime you want. Oh, I guess he's not there. Oh, well, anyway,
Paul,
thanks for letting me call my
room. It's certainly not logically impossible, but I'm not at all clear it's physically possible. But I, you know, I'd be open to more discussion about this possibility. In my opinion, highly speculative. The idea of some kind of universal embracing consciousness, in my opinion, that's about on the level of the Force from Star Wars. Or a belief in God. I mean, you know that I'm an agnostic because the existence of God is not a testable proposition. It lies beyond the scope of scientific.
Yeah, I'm here.
Now,
okay.
If we can find ways to test for this universal consciousness or the existence of the Force or what have you, I would be keen to know what those tests would be. I mean, scientific inquiry is open to hypotheses, but they must be fashioned in a clear and precise manner to be empirically testable. Give me some data about what you take to be the hypothesis here about psychic ability, and let's continue the conversation. I won't rule it out.
I'm here.
I'm a skeptic, but that doesn't mean I'm not willing to discuss it further.
Okay, well, again, all I can recommend to you is just you do what I do and what Brian has done and what many other people have done, and that's listen, take in material. Listen to lots of audio and or video, radio, it's out there. I mean, I'm sure Brian, like myself, has heard many, many shows going back many, many decades on this topic, and there's authors that have written books on it.
Hey.
It's clear that we don't live in the very, very narrowly defined world that you perceive.
Hey, I'm very glad you're in. Let me say, McCarthy's first action is to get rid of the 87th era.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their